This week's CD is about Pesach, and we are going to speak about what happened in the seventh day of Pesach, which was the day of Kriyas Yamsuf, of the crossing of the sea. And this is going to be the topic of our class today, mostly trying to understand certain things regarding what is written in Bishalach chapter 14, where there is a story about our crossing the Yamsuf. We will start our shir in Parshas Bishalach, which is Shmos chapter 14, verse number 15. The Jewish people are by the sea, the Yamsuf. They see the Egyptians coming. Moshe Rabbeinu decides to pray. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma titzak Eloi, why are you screaming to me? Meaning, why are you praying to me? Daber Bnei Israel, tell the Jewish people Vayisau, and they should journey forth, and they should depart. They should start going. The next pasuk says, "Ve'ato and you, harim es matcho, raise your staff, uneteyes yot chalayom, and stretch out your arm on the sea, uvkoeyu, and split it. Ve'yavou bnei Yisrael betoy chayom bayabosha, that the Jewish people should go inside the sea in dryness." Sefer Mincha Belula is bothered by the language of the pasuk, meaning because it's already written by Koheu that Moshe Rabbeinu should split the sea, then automatically there is no yam anymore, there is no sea anymore. What does it mean that the Jewish people should go betoy chayam inside the sea by Abasha in the dryness? Therefore, the Mincha Belula explains that the Jewish people should go where previously was considered yam, where now it's dry, meaning betoy chayam by Abasha doesn't necessarily mean literally that it should go into the sea, into dryness, because it can mean that since the Torah first says that Moshe Rabbeinu should split the sea, obviously there is no more water, then they can't go in betoy chayam inside the sea by Abasha in dryness. It means that they should go into the place that previously was the sea, where now it's dry. We will try to give a different answer on the meaning of these words. Continuing with the Psukim in Parshas Bishalach, the Psukim there continue in Pasuk 17 until Pasuk number 21 and explains that the Egyptians are going to follow the Jew and Hashem is going to be glorified by Pharaoh and by all his horsemen. And Hashem sent the angel that was going in front to the back, and he came between the encampment of the Egyptians and the encampment of the Jewish people. Then in Pasuk 21, the Pasuk continues and says, Vayet Moshe es yado yalayam, Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand on the sea, Vayoylech Hashem es hayom, Baruach kodim azo kol halayla, and Hashem moved the sea with a strong east wind all night. In other words, the wind blew all night to separate the sea, Vayosem es hayom lecharova, and he made the sea to dryness, and then vaybaku amayim, and the waters split. The simple meaning is that the waters of the Yamsuf, of the Sea of Reeds, split. Rashi doesn't like this explanation, meaning that vaybaku amayim means that the waters of the Sea of Reeds split, because since it's previously written in the same pasuk, vayosem es hayom lecharava, that he made the sea dry by blowing the wind all night, Hashem made the sea dry. If it's already dry, automatically I know that the sea split. The proper way for the pasuk to say is that the wind blew all night, vaybaka, and the sea split, and then it became dry. But since the order is reversed, therefore Rashi is forced to say that when it's written here, vaybaka amayim, that the water split, it's not referring to the waters of the Sea of Reed, it's referring to Kol Maim Sheb Oilam, that all waters in the world split. In other words, the miracle was that here you could blame it and say it's a natural phenomena that the wind blew all night, therefore it caused the sea to split. But when all waters of the world split, even waters in a cup split, then everybody was able to recognize that this is not a natural phenomena, that this is clearly a miracle from Hashem, the creator of the world. The Ramban says that the reason that the wind blew all night is in order that the Egyptians should mistake it and believe that it's a natural phenomena, that it's not a miracle from Hashem, that the fact that the sea split is because the wind blew all night. According to this Ramban, we cannot translate Vaibakwa Mayim that all the waters of the world split, because if that would be so, then the Egyptians would not make a mistake that the reason that the water split is because of the wind. Everybody would see that it's a clear miracle from Hashem. Then according to the Ramban, we have to explain what does it mean in the Pasuk that first it was dryness and then Hashem split the sea. The chronology of the Pasuk should be reversed. At first he split the waters and then it became dry. But in truth, we could say that in the same way that the Ramban says that even though they saw the wind blowing and the sea split in 12 parts, as the Medrash in Shmos, Parsha Chav Dalet, Simon Aleph says, that when the Pasuk says in Tehillim 136, verse number 13, Legoizer Yamsiv Legzorim, Hashem who divided the sea of reeds into parts, the Medrash says there that the sea was split in 12 parts to allow each tribe its own path. Then if the Egyptians would see that, it would be inconceivable for them to think that this was the work of the wind. Obviously, they themselves saw that this is the work of Hashem. The Ramban explains that the hatred for the Jewish people was so great that even though they clearly could see that it was a miracle, but since it was a wind, they blamed it on the wind. So we see that once you're blinded by hate, even if you are proven wrong and logically you see that you are wrong, nonetheless you grab onto anything to justify your hatred. So according to this Ramban, we could say that he agrees like Rashi that all the waters of the world split, but nonetheless the hatred of the Egyptians was so great that they just ignored it in order to be able to attack the Jewish people. The Or HaChaim HaKodesh gives a completely different interpretation why Hashem had the wind blow all night, and he says that Hashem was doing a special kindness for the Jewish people, meaning that Hashem could have just split the sea and shown the dryness on the land. But as we know, some places in the ocean are very deep, and the Jewish people would have been uncomfortable walking down the hill and coming up the other side of the hill. So Hashem, in his great kindness, had the wind blow all night. That caused the water to freeze, and the Jewish people were able to walk on dryness in the middle of the ocean, meaning that Hashem caused that the place where they walk should be frozen, and the place that it wasn't frozen, Hashem split, in order for everybody to see that they are walking on top of the water. And according to the Rachaim, the sequence is proper, because Hashem first made the water become frozen, and then Hashem split the water, and everybody was able to see the miracle. We will try to give a different interpretation on the sequence of events, and why is it first written that it was dry, and then it's written that the waters were split. We continue with Pasuk 22, where the Pasuk there says, Vayavou bnei Israel, the Jewish people went besoy chayam, inside the ocean, by abasha, in dryness. Note that here it's written, besoy chayam, by abasha, inside the ocean, and then in dryness. And the Pasuk continues and says, Vamayim lohem choyma, and the water became for them a wall, miminam to the right side, imismoilam to the left side. And note that here the word choma, wall, it's written full, meaning it's written ches, vav, mem, hey, as normally you would write the word wall. But in Pasuk number 29, the message of this Pasuk seems to be repeated, but there it's written this Pasuk with slight deviations. There the Pasuk says, Uvnei Yisrael olchu bayabasha besoy chayam, that the Jewish people walked in the dryness inside the ocean, meaning in Pasuk 22 it's written that they walked inside the ocean in the dryness, and here in Pasuk 29 this is reversed and it says the opposite, that they walked in the dryness inside the ocean. And the Pasuk continues, Vamayim lohem choyma, and the water became to them a wall, miminam imismoilam, from the right side and to the left side. But there the Pasuk says the word choma, well, with missing a vav. It's written ches mem hey, and it's missing the vav. So the question is, number one, why does the Torah tell me this Pasuk twice? What is the message of repeating the Pasuk? And second, why did the Torah deviate from what is written previously? Previously it's written that they went inside the ocean in the dryness, and here it's written they went in the dryness inside the ocean. And previously it's written the word Choma in the proper way, Ches, Vav, Mem, Hey, and here Choma is missing a Vav. What is the purpose of these changes? Sefer Kol Eliyahu answers this question based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Gimel 103, Amud Beis B. There the Gemara brings the pasuk in Zechariah chapter 10, verse number 11, where it says, "V'avar bayom tzora, the rival should pass through the sea, v'hiko bayom galim, and should strike waves in the sea." Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, "Ze pislo shamilcha." That this pasuk that it says that the rival will cross in the sea, that is talking about the idol of Micha, that Micha was from the tribe of Dan, and he brought this idol with him from Egypt, and that idol also crossed the sea, and therefore it says that a rival, meaning not literally a rival of Hashem, but a rival of a different God, crossed the sea. Sefer Kol Eliyahu then brings a pasuk in Parshas Baloyischot, chapter 10, verse number 25, where there the pasuk says, "V'nasa dege machne brei Dan," that the encampment of the tribe of Dan traveled, "Me'asev kol ha-machnois," the rear guard of all the encampment, meaning that the tribe of Dan always walked last. Then Sefer Kol Eliyahu says that according to this idea, we could explain the discrepancies between the psukim this way. That in the first Pasuk 22, where it says, "Vayavou bnei Yisrael betoy chayom bayabasha," the Jewish people went inside the sea in the dryness, that is talking when the Jewish people are first going to the sea. There it's still the sea, and the Jewish people are now going into, and they are causing it to become dry. And since all the tribes besides the tribe of Dan were righteous people, and the first people were not from the tribe of Dan, it's written that the waters became a choma, a wall, from the right side and for the left side. The choma is written complete because of the righteousness of the Jewish people. The wall was totally complete and totally strong. But after the Egyptians came into the sea, as it's written in Pasuk number 27, that they went besoy chayam, that means that at that time the Egyptians are coming in one side, and the Jewish people are about to go out the other side. And since, as we mentioned, the last tribe to go out is the tribe of Dan, and the tribe of Dan was carrying the Pesal Micha, the idol of Micha, therefore it's written in Pasuk 29 that Vnei Yisrael, the Jewish people, here is referring to the tribe of Dan, Olchu, they went by Abosho in the dryness, Besoy Chayam, inside the sea. Because they already went into the dryness, since when they came into the ocean, it was already dry. And therefore it's written there, V'hamayim lohem choyma, that the waters became a wall, miminom mismoilom, from the right side and the left side, and the word choma is written missing a vav, to teach us two things. One, that the wall wasn't as steadfast, it wasn't as strong as it was in the beginning, because since now the walls are protecting somebody that is carrying the idol of Micha, then the walls didn't want to stay erect and steadfast. Therefore, it's written the word Choma, wall, missing a vav, to show you that it's missing something from the walls. The waters didn't want to open up and stay as protection from somebody who is carrying the idol of Micha. Or you could say that the word Choma, when it's written without a vav, are the letters Hey, Mem, Hey. Hey, Mem, Hey are also the same letters as the words Chema, anger. As a matter of fact, the Yalkut Shimoni in Beshalach, Remesh, Reish Lamed Dalet, almost at the end brings that the Satan, Samach Mem, came in front of Hashem and complained, Lo Avdu Yisrael Avoy Dezar B'Mitzrayim, didn't the Jewish people do idolatry in Egypt? Va'ato Oysel Lo Em Nisim, and you make miracles for them? Meaning that the Satan didn't want Hashem to save the Jewish people because the Jewish people also committed idolatry in Egypt. V'hoyo mashmiya koiloi, and he was raising his voice and telling his argument, l'sar shalyam, to the guardian angel of the sea, v'nismale aleim chema, and the guardian angel of the sea accepted the words of the Satan, And he got angry at the Jewish people, meaning why is he splitting for the Jewish people when the Jewish people aren't devoted to Hashem and they are committing idolatry? Uvikesh letavam, and he wanted to drown the Jewish people. The Yalkut Shimoni continues and says, Miyad heshiv lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem answered the Satan, Shoyte shebe'olam, fool, v'chile datam avdu, did they do idolatry out of their own free will? They only did idolatry because they were subjugated by the Egyptians. And because of despair. And you are judging somebody who does by mistake as somebody who does idolatry on purpose. And somebody who is forced, like somebody who does it willingly. Which means that you can't compare the Jewish people doing idolatry out of duress and out of troubles with somebody who is committing idolatry out of free will and out of pleasure. The Medrash says that Kivin Sheshama Sar Shalyam, as soon as the guardian angel of the sea heard, meaning that it heard Hashem's argument, Oisachem Asher Esmal Israel, that anger that he was carrying, that he wanted to drown the Jewish people, Echzir al Mitzrayim, he used that anger against the Egyptians, meaning the same anger that was directed originally towards the Jewish people for them committing idolatry, after Hashem counter-argued, he used that anger towards the Egyptian. Nonetheless, we see from this Medrash that since the word Choyma is written in Fautavav, the Medrash translates as being Chema, as being anger. Sefer Kol Eliyahu uses this idea of Choyma in Fautavav, meaning anger, and he says, not like the Medrash that he originally committed adultery, but he says it applies in this case, which means to say, Vamayim lohem chema, that the waters were angry, miminam mismoilam, from the right side and left side, meaning that since the tribe of Dan was carrying the Pesel Micha, then the waters were angry that they had to stay up to protect people carrying the Pesel Micha. So it's written the word choma without a vav, either to allude that it is missing something from the wall, that the waters were not completely a wall, not completely erect, because they didn't want to stay and they didn't become so steadfast, or it's written the word choima without a vav to allude to us that the waters were angry at having to stay open for people carrying the Pesel Micha, the idol of Micha. The Vilna Gaon explains the discrepancy between the psukim based on the Yalkut Shimoni that we just mentioned, where the Satan argued with Hashem that the Jewish people do not deserve to have a miracle because they also did idolatry. And he also uses the idea that we mentioned, that the Choyma is written without Vav in the second Pasuk, because it's meant to say that the sea was angry. But he says that there was two groups of Jews with different levels of belief in Hashem. Meaning, once Hashem said on Pasuk number 15, Daber el bnei Yisrael v'yisau, that you should tell the Jewish people that they should travel forth, meaning that they should go in the sea, there were two groups of people. One group of people that believed totally in Hashem, and they risked themselves and jumped into the sea. Amongst those people, we have the story of Nachshon ben Aminadov, which will soon bring the full story from the Gemara in Soita, Daf Lamed Vav Amed Beis 36b. And the other group of Jews who will not go into the sea, who did not believe in Hashem and would only go in the sea when they saw complete dryness. And he explains like that. The first group, which believed in Hashem, they went besoich hayom bayabosha. They went inside the sea while it's still water, and then it turned to them yabosha, dryness. And because they believed so much in Hashem, then the criticism of the Satan that the Jewish people did idolatry fell by the wayside, because you could see clearly that these people who jumped into the sea, they believe in Hashem. They would never do idolatry. They're willing to sacrifice their life in the belief that Hashem will split the sea and save them. Therefore, there it's written v'amayim lohem choyma, that the water was a wall. It's written with a vav, to signify again that it was a strong wall, because those people were deserving that the sea split for them. But the second group of Jews, who would not jump into the sea until they actually saw that it was dry. On that group it's written that they went bayabosho besoich hayom, that they went in the dryness in the middle of the sea, meaning they only jumped into the sea when they saw that the sea is completely dry. They did not have belief in Hashem. Regarding those people, it's written in the second pasuk, v'amayim lehem choymo, that the waters was a wall, but there it's written choymo without the vav, to have the same letters as the word chema, which means that the waters were angry, because the waters believed the argument of the Satan that the Jewish people did idolatry, and they didn't have anything to merit their saving at the sea. Meaning that the second group, because they didn't show belief in Hashem, and they had performed idolatry previously, they were not deserving for the sea to split. Therefore, the sea was angry at having to split for such people. We will now say the Gemara in Soita Daf Lamedvah Hamed Beis 36b. The Gemara there says, Oyu Rab Meir Oymer, Rab Meir used to say, Kesh'omdu Yisrael Ayam, when the Jewish people were at the sea, Oyu Shvotim Menatzchim Zeh Im Zeh, the tribes were fighting one another. Zeh Oymer, this one says, Ani Yoyret Chilal Ayam, I'm the one that's going to jump first at the sea. Vezeh Oymer, and the other tribe says, Ani Yoyret Chilal Ayam, I'm the one who is going to jump first at the sea. Everybody was arguing who is going to be first. Kafatz shifto Shel Binyamin, the whole tribe of Binyamin jumped, ve'yarat le'yam tchila, and he went down to the sea first. Shenemar, because it's written in Pasuk, in Tehillim, chapter 68, verse number 28, Shom Binyamin tzair, that there, the young Binyamin, roidem, rules them, but the word roidem is comprised of two words, al tikri roidem, do not read rules them, el ureid yam, he went down to the sea. Meaning the tribes are arguing who is going to be first to jump to the sea. Binyamin saw they arguing, he decided that he is going to jump first into the sea. Rameh continues and analyzes the continuation of the pasuk in Tehillim. There it says, Sarah Yehuda rigmasam, that the masters of Yehuda were stoning them. Rab Meir says that after Binyamin jumped into the sea first, the masters of Yehuda, meaning the tribe of Yehuda, stoned Binyamin. They were upset that Binyamin did this first. Therefore, they threw stones on Binyamin. But the Gemara continues that since Binyamin did this first, Hashem rewarded Binyamin that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be in the portion of Binyamin, as it's written in Devarim, chapter 33, verse number 12, Uvein Ksef of Shochen, that Hashem between the shoulders of Binyamin, which means that Beis HaMikdash was built at the portion of Binyamin, because Binyamin was the first one to jump into the sea. Tosfos is trying to explain why Yehuda stoned Binyamin. Meaning, we know Binyamin did the right thing, then why did Yehuda stone Binyamin? Tosfos brings a mechilta, which is also a Yalkut Shimoni in Remes Reish Lamed Gimel, where they bring a mashal, a parable of a king who had two children. To the youngest child, he asked that he should be woken at sunrise, and to the oldest child, he asked that he should be awoken after 3 hours of the day. The youngest son went right in the morning to wake up his father. The oldest son got upset because the oldest son was told to wake up his father only after 3 hours of the day. They were arguing back and forth until the noise woke up their father. Their father says, since both of you intended only for my honor, therefore I'll give you both rewards. And Tosfos says that Binyamin received the reward that Hashem was hosed by him, and Yehuda received the reward that he became the king forever. Meaning the kingdom belonged now to the tribe of Yehuda. Neither Tosfos, nor the Mechilta, nor the Yalkut Shimoni explain how this parable applies to our story. Where do you see that Yehuda did something to honor Hashem? Just the fact that he stoned Binyamin, is that enough to say that he honored Hashem? Sefer Meroim Esod explains that indeed Yehuda did not want to jump into the sea because he wanted to honor Hashem. Meaning that Yehuda saw that all night the eastern wind blew. And Yehuda thought, like the Ramban, that the reason Hashem has the wind blow all night is in order to mask the miracle of the splitting of the sea. that people should think that this is not a miracle, but a natural phenomena due to the strong wind blowing all night. Therefore, Yehuda did not want to jump into the sea, and he held you shouldn't jump into the sea, because you don't want to hasten the miracle. You don't want to show that the miracle was done for the person who jumped into the sea. Therefore, when Binyamin jumped into the sea, Yehuda was upset, because Hashem's plan was to make this miracle a miracle masked in nature, and by Binyamin jumping to the sea, Hashem had to make the sea split. Therefore, Yehuda was stoning Binyamin. Binyamin, on the other hand, since he heard that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, Daber el bnei Yisrael ve'yisau, tell the Jewish people and they should depart, meaning they should go into the sea, he didn't waste any time, and he jumped into the sea. Now we could understand the parable, because since both of them intended for sake of Hashem, Yehuda by not jumping intended to make the will of Hashem, and Binyamin by jumping wanted to do the will of Hashem, then the fact that Yehuda stoned Binyamin was L'shem Shomayim, for heaven's sake. Therefore Hashem gave a reward to both Binyamin and Yehuda, that Binyamin had the place of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yehuda had the kingdom from then on. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel in Tehillim, chapter 68, verse 28, writes the same idea cited in our Gemara in the name of Rab Meir, that in the beginning Binyamin jumped into the sea and afterwards Yehuda stoned them. But when it comes to the reward, Targum Yonasan ben Uziel brings a different kind of reward. Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says that because Binyamin jumped into the sea first, therefore he merited to be the first king of Israel. Shaul HaMelech, King Shaul, was from the tribe of Binyamin, and because Yehuda was stoning him, therefore Yehuda merited to be the king afterwards and for all eternity. And we have to understand, according to the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, why does Yehuda get a greater reward than Binyamin? Going back to the Gemara in Sota, now on Daf Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph 37a, the Gemara continues and says that Omar Loi Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Meir, Loi Kach Hayu Maaseh, that the story was not like that, meaning the story wasn't that the Shevet Binyamin jumped first into the sea. Elo, the story was the opposite. Ze Omer Einani Yoret Chileyam, this one said that I don't want to be the first one to go into the sea. Ve Ze Omer Einani Yoret Chileyam, and this one said, I don't want to be the first one to jump into the sea. Meaning, everybody was afraid to be the first to jump into the sea. Kofatz Nachshon ben Aminadov. Nachshon ben Aminadov, which was from the tribe of Yehuda, jumped. Ve'yorat layam tchila. And he is the one that went into the sea first. And the Gemara brings proofs from Psukim to that effect. The Gemara continues, says, Lefikach, therefore, Zocha Yehuda lasas memshala beYisrael, Yehuda merited to have dominion, to be a ruler over the Jewish people, Shanemar, because it's written in Tehillim, chapter 114, verse number 2, the Betzeis Israel, there it says, Oiso Yehuda lekachoy, Yehuda became his sanctified one, meaning Hashem chose Yehuda to be separate from the other tribes. Israel, Mam Shaloisov, that the Jewish people became his dominion, meaning that Yehuda will be the king over the Jewish people. And explains, Matam Hoiso Yehuda Lekachoy Veisrael Mam Shaloisov, what did Yehuda do to be separated by Hashem that he should rule over all the Jewish people? Mishum Dehayam Ra Vayonois, because the sea saw and fled, meaning that Nachshon ben Aminadov, that was from the tribe of Yehuda, jumped into the sea, and that caused the sea to flee. Because of his show of emuna, of belief in Hashem, therefore Hashem rewarded Yehuda that he is going to be the king. Resuming the opinion of Rav Meir and the opinion of Rav Yehuda, we have exactly opposite positions regarding what the Jewish people wanted to do. Meaning, according to Rav Meir, the Shvatim were fighting who is going to jump into the sea first. Meaning, everybody wanted to be the first to jump into the sea, and eventually Binyamin jumped in, and then Yehuda stoned them. And Hashem gave the reward to both of them, and we are going to explain soon the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, why Yehuda deserved a greater reward than Binyamin. And according to Rav Yehuda, just the opposite. Everybody said, I am not going to be the first one to jump into the sea, meaning the Jewish people did not want to jump into the sea, until Nachshu ben Amidado from the tribe of Yehuda decided that he is going to be the first to jump into the sea. I saw a beautiful interpretation in Agadah Beis Aharon, where it does almost the impossible and reconciles both opinions, the opinion of Rav Meir and the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that they become one. The Agadah Beis Aharon says that since the Jewish people were told that Hashem told them that they should travel into the sea, all the Jews knew that something is going to happen and the sea is going to split. Therefore, in the beginning, each tribe was fighting one another who is going to be the first to jump into the sea, until the tribe of Binyamin jumped in and he went to the sea first, as the opinion of Rav Meir. But the tribe of Binyamin did not go into the depths of the ocean. He went into the beginning of the ocean where he could still stand on his foot on the ground, meaning he was standing inside the sea, but he was standing in shallow waters. And he was waiting to see what miracle will Hashem make. But he didn't want to go into the deep waters and risk his life. He stood in the shallow waters. At this point, the tribe of Yehuda started stoning him, because the tribe of Yehuda understood that Hashem will only make the miracle of splitting the sea for somebody who is willing to risk his life for Hashem. Therefore, the tribe of Yehuda was stoning the tribe of Binyamin, because the tribe of Yehuda was thinking that if they would throw the stones on the tribe of Binyamin, that will force the tribe of Binyamin to go in deeper into the sea, and then the miracle will happen. But nonetheless, the tribe of Binyamin did not want to go further, and they tolerated the stoning because they were afraid to risk their life for Hashem. They didn't want to abandon the safety of the shallow waters. Therefore, Nachshon ben Aminadav decided to jump into the depths of the water, as Rabbi Yehuda brings proof to his opinion from the Pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 69, verse number 2, where it says, Hoshieni Elohim, please save me Hashem, kivo maim ad nafesh, for the waters have reached until the soul, which means that I'm about to die from these waters unless you are going to save me. And at that point, Hashem decided that he is going to split the sea. Because of the Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice of Nachshu ben Aminadav, that he didn't just go into the water, he went into the deep waters where he could perish at any moment if Hashem doesn't save him, and he only jumped in because he trusted completely in the words of Hashem, because of that, the sea split. And this is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Again, according to Agadah Beis Aharon, the events that Rav Meir describes in the Gemara, that Binyamin jumped in first, that took place first, and afterwards the tribe of Yehuda stoned Binyamin, and Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped in the water, which is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. And according to this, we could understand the Targum Yonason ben Uziel, that gives a greater reward to Yehuda than Binyamin. And we know the rule that Hashem always gives reward to a person according to what he does. Therefore, since the tribe of Binyamin jumped in first to the sea, Hashem rewarded that Binyamin should merit to have the first king of Israel coming out of his tribe. Therefore, Shaul HaMelech became the first king of Israel. But since Binyamin did not want to go further, he did not want to continue and finish the job by going into the deep waters, therefore the kingdom of Binyamin did not continue. But Yehuda, since Yehuda was willing to jump into the sea, and he was willing to go all the way and risk his life for Hashem, therefore Hashem made that the second king of Israel should be David HaMelech, the king of Yehuda, and his kingdom should endure forever. The Rabbeinu Bachya says an interesting idea regarding the crossing of the sea. This idea differs from what we normally envisioned or what we normally learn at school. Normally we think that Nachshon ben Aminadav jumped into the sea, or Moshe Rabbeinu hit the sea, and the sea crossed and the sea split from one corner until the other corner. Meaning it became a dry path all the way across. Rabbeinu Bachya says that the sea did not act that way, but it only split little by little. Meaning that everywhere that the Jewish people stepped on, then it turned dry. But around that person, it was still water. All three sides that the person walked, it was still water. And if he turns to the right, then the water will move away from the right. And if he turned to the left, then the water will turn to the left. And that is the meaning of the pasuk that says, "V'mayim lohem choyma," that the waters were a wall, miminam, from the right side, umismoilam, and from the left side. Meaning that if they turned to the right, they still saw the waters as a wall, and only after they stepped into the water, that is when the water dried up. And even Nachshon ben Aminadov, when he jumped into the sea, did not cause the whole water to split all the way. He just caused that the place where he was became dry, but all around him it was still wet. According to this idea of Rabbeinu Bachya, we could understand our original question on the Pasuk about the chronology that happened. Our question was, that's written in Pasuk number 14, Vayet Moshe es yad el hayam, that Moshe Rabbeinu stretched out his hand to the sea, and Hashem made the wind blow all night. And then it's written, Vayosem es hayam lecharava, that Hashem made the sea dry, Vaybaku amayim, and the waters were split. And we asked, normally the waters should be split, and then the waters become dry. And we mentioned the Rashi, that Rashi says that's not talking about the waters of the sea, it's talking about the waters of the whole world. But according to Rabbeinu Bachya, we could say that first it turned out dry in the spot where the Jewish people stepped into, but as soon as they were walking, then Vaybaku amayim, the sea split. Meaning, when Nachshon Nadav jumped into the sea, wherever he stood, it became dry, but all around him, it was still a sea. Therefore, he first stepped on the dry, and then every step he took, the sea split. It was not one event that the whole sea split and we walked in that path, but as soon as the Jewish person walked, then the water continued splitting. Sefer Shemen Rosh explains, why did Rabbeinu Bachya say that the sea acted this way? Why couldn't Rabbeinu Bachya say that the sea was split from one corner to the other? And the answer is that the idea is that in the same way that the sea split only because of the Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice of Nachshon ben Aminadov, that he thought that he is going to die and he had to rely totally on Hashem, Hashem wanted that all Jews should have also this Mesiras Nefesh, this self-sacrifice. Therefore, until the Jewish people touched that water, the water was tall. Once he decided that he's going to go inside that water split. Like that, every Jew had the same self-sacrifice as Nachshon ben Aminadov. True that Nachshon ben Aminadov, by being the first, had to have more self-sacrifice. And once the Jews saw that this happened to Nachshon ben Aminadov, then they are less afraid to take the risk of jumping into the sea. But nonetheless, it still requires to have self-sacrifice. And I'll explain it with the idea of a parachute. We know that if somebody is in an airplane and is required to jump out of the airplane via a parachute, he is very afraid. Even though that person knows that other people jumped and survived, nonetheless, that person tapping into the void and having to totally rely on the parachute for his survival, that person is scared. So too here, even though they saw that Nachshon ben Aminadov was saved, but nonetheless, the fact that they have to rely on Hashem for their survival, that they jump into the depths of the sea, and they still have to rely totally on Hashem for their survival, is a great test and a great Mesiras Nefesh, a great self-sacrifice, and that self-sacrifice, that Mesiras Nefesh, is what caused that the Jewish people would be saved at the sea. Because as we mentioned, the Satan argued with Hashem that the Jewish people did idolatry in Egypt and they are not meritorious to be saved. But now that the Jewish people had Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, in the crossing of the sea, the Jewish people merited that the sea should dry up and they survived. And according to this Rabbeinu Bachya, we could translate the pasuk that we mentioned earlier, that it says on Tehillim, chapter 136, verse number 13, the Goizer Yam Suf Ligzorim, Hashem who divided the sea of reeds into parts, Ki Le'olam Chazoy, that His kindness endures forever, and we mentioned that the Medrash says that it was divided in 12 parts, but according this Rabbeinu Bachya, we could say that it was divided in more than 600,000 parts, because the sea split to each Jew individually according to where he walked. And Hashem Yisburach should help that in the same way that we saw great miracles in the crossing of the sea, we should see again those miracles, and we should merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis Hamikdash rebuild, b'mheiro b'yameinu, Amen.